You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Professor Miguel Quinones Mateo of the Department of Microbiology and Immunology at the University of Otago is part of an international team investigating how wastewater can be used to get a more accurate picture of COVID-19 cases in low to middle income countries. Led by Otago and Western University, Canada, the project involves researchers in Uganda, Ghana, Colombia, Venezuela, and Fiji. They are trying to gain an understanding of infection in the populations and look for emerging variants of concern. Zazi began speaking to Professor Quinones Mateo to talk about the investigation in more detail.
So, as you know, of course, we're in the middle of this pandemic, but people have been using these technology, the ability to try to detect the virus in wastewater or sewage for the last, I would say, almost a year now, 10 months or something like that. Even here in New Zealand, we use it, ESR, been using it for a while now, just a way to surveillance and just to keep check of what's going on in the community. In fact, some of these cases that we have now, even on the, yesterday, I think that have been trying to be detected, you know, using these, you know, wastewater and sewage. So anyway, all that good is being used in all these countries in Europe and Canada and the US, all that. But to my knowledge, not that many people have been trying to use these in low to middle income countries, where we must, it's most needed, of course. That the way that we're doing all these surveillance is just trying to swap and test as many people as possible. But that's not pleasant, to be honest. And the other thing is that the most important thing is that most people that get tested is because they have some symptoms somehow. Okay. So there is a lot of people asymptomatic out there, you know, more than 70% of the people that get these virus are asymptomatic, that they don't, you know, they don't get tested, or they, because they don't want, or they don't have to, or whatever. But they could be spreading the virus. And the only way to be detecting those is just to do these indirect sampling, which is using wastewater. You may know that this virus, of course, is infecting the upper and lower respiratory tract, but there have been many, many, many publications and findings that you can actually find that the virus in the feces, okay? It's not replication competent, so you're not gonna get infected with the virus, but you have, you know, fragments of the RNA, of the genetic material of the virus there. So by testing those wastewater samples, you should be able to detect what's happening in the community. So let's say that here in Dunedin, in North Dunedin, if we have 1,000 people infected, I mean, everybody have to go eventually to the bathroom and everything. So that would be detected in the wastewater, okay? So that's been done and all the protocols, everything has been set up. So we decided, we put this together maybe 6 months ago. We started talking with my colleagues in Canada and the US to do these, like I say, low to middle income countries. So I've been working with Professor Eric Arts from the Western University in London, Ontario, in Canada, for more than 20-something years. We have been working on HIV in Africa, different places. So we decided to try to adapt all this expertise that we have now to these wastewater, you know, surveillance project. So we were able to contact, you know, multiple people around the world. So what we're doing is we have a multinational, international team. So we have people in Canada and the US, like I said. We have a team in Kampala and Uganda. We have a team in Ghana. I'm originally from Venezuela, so the situation in Venezuela is not good with COVID. So we have a team in Caracas in Venezuela doing this project, and a team in Medellin in Colombia doing these as well. And then I decided that we needed some kind of negative control, because of course we're going to be able to detect all these virus in the sewage and all these places, because there's a lot of virus circulated in those countries and those regions. But it would be nice to have a negative control. So initially I thought about doing it here in New Zealand, because we don't have, of course, up to yesterday, any community cases. But then I thought about Fiji. I mean, we have some projects going on in Fiji right now related to HIV/AIDS and all this stuff. So I said, okay, maybe we could do it in Fiji since we don't have any cases in Fiji. Of course, this is 6 months ago before the outbreak and the problem that we have in Fiji now. So we started setting up everything there. And then in the meantime, this happened. And now instead of being a negative control, we became another place that we could do that. And the goal with all these is just to keep track of what's happening in the community, okay? even before this person that could have or no symptoms got to the doctor and do the swab, you should be able to detect what's happening in the community by doing this wastewater, especially in countries, like I said, that they don't have the, you know, the capability to do it. So another thing that is really key for us is, because we have been doing this for many, many years now, is training and building capacity. So all these protocols, all these, you know, technology, you know, reagents and so on is being transferred to all these places. So in Caracas, like I said, Medellin, Ghana, Uganda, and Fiji, everybody will have the same protocol, the same SOPs. So once we're done with this study, they should be able to continue doing it and, you know, contribute it to public health in their respective countries.
Well, so how, I feel like you went into it already a little bit, but how does that work? How is this investigation conducted, if you can talk about it briefly?
So what we decided was to do almost like a, I wouldn't call it a pilot study, but it's almost, just to be sure that everything is working, because like I said, we know that we can do it here in New Zealand and Canada and all the places, but just to be sure that the whole process can work on all the different, you know, sites. So what the way that we decided these was to do collect the same number of samples, pretty much the same protocol in all the places. So what we're doing is collecting each one of these places in Caracas, Kampala, you know, Suva, and Fiji, and we're collecting in three different, you know, regions, or three different places and locations within the city, three times a week. So typically we're doing Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, just to try to capture the whole, you know, the week, four consecutive weeks. So it's basically 1 month of monitoring what's happening in the community and three different places in that. So how does that work? Somebody, I mean, some member of the team, have to go to there and collect water. Pretty much, it's just sewage water in different places. So depending on the region, depending on the country, sometimes we do it in water plant, water treatment plants. Okay, sometimes it's just streams coming from, you know, favelas or all these areas that you don't have the proper sewage or system. That's what we do. So typically we collect, I don't know, anything between 100 to 500 milliliters of half a liter of sewage. So, but that sewage contains not only water, but a little bit of debris, of course, and some solids as well. So that's taken to the lab, and each site and each laboratory in each place, they process that sample. So basically they go through a process of filtering and cleaning and all that. And then eventually they have a material that they're going to be able to extract RNA of the genetic material of the virus, okay? And then we will do PCR. And we will use exactly the same primer, same protocol, say everything for everyone, and see if we can detect, you know, the virus in those different places of different samples and how much we detect. I mean, during the week it goes up or down, or during the month it goes up or down, and so on. And try to correlate that with other metrics that could be happening in the public health metrics in the country or in the region. One thing that I didn't mention at the beginning, that of course we're focusing on, you know, like I say, building capacity and training everything for surveillance of SARS-CoV-2 in sewage and wastewater plants. But another thing that we're doing, because we can, we're virologists, and that's what we do, we're doing what we call using a metagenomic approach to see what other viruses are in those samples as well. Okay. So you can just get the same sample that I mentioned before, the same RNA, and they just basically sequence everything that is there. Not only, you're not looking only for that SARS-CoV-2, but sequence any virus that could be in that sample. So we should be able to detect endemic virus, rotaviruses, hepatitis virus, who knows, whatever is circulated. And I'll try to correlate that between Africa and Latin America and North America, and now here in Fiji. So it will open the door, I mean, depending on the finding, depending on the results, to, you know, further the studies and see what we can do next. Other than, is, you know, establishing the protocol so everybody can continue doing the surveillance, just like we're doing here in New Zealand, we're doing in other places.
Yeah, and why is it significant to be able to track COVID-19 through wastewater in, like you say, more low to middle income countries?
Well, look at what's happening yesterday here, and pretty much overseas across the world. We need to not only monitor number of cases, but the variants as well. As you know, this Delta variant is really, really transmissible. You are not going to be able to catch up and be on top of the, you know, the epidemic or the pandemic if you're just waiting for people to go and get swabs in hospital and clinics. Okay, so we're expecting, because we're going to be able to PCR amplify and sequence those variants, we should be able to say, okay, in Uganda, the virus that is circulating is you know, variant alpha, beta, or gamma, whatever it is. But in Venezuela, it's mostly delta, and so on. And because we're doing longitudinal samples, we should see you know, evolution. Okay, now the epidemic is being controlled by these variants versus the other variants. So all that is being done, like I said, with swabs samples. All that is being done in industrialized countries, but it's now being done in low to middle income countries, and it's now being done at the level of wastewater where we can just detect not only symptomatic but asymptomatic cases again, because those are the ones that are basically, you know, causing the problem that we have. It's not the people that, just like me today, that I'm feeling a little bit under the weather. Of course, it's not COVID, it's another virus. But when somebody has these symptoms, you go and get tested and it's negative or positive or whatever. But what about the 70% of people that are out there just walking in the streets and going to bars and restaurants without symptoms and transmitting the virus? You are not going to be able to monitor those or to surveillance those unless you do these indirect surveillance to wastewater. Okay, and that's critical in the other countries, I mean, in low to middle income countries, where many people, in many cases, are afraid of the government, are afraid of doctors, they don't believe in that, they don't trust them, they don't want to go. So that's an indirect way to keep track of them and do a public health work.
And how many places around the world ordinarily do or undertake wastewater analysis or water testing protocols? Is this something new that's recently happened or...?
Oh, no, no. Like I said, people have been doing it for a while now. And I bet, I mean, for the last 18 months or almost 2 years now, everything that you can imagine has been done with this SARS-CoV-2. It has been amazing. Scientifically, I haven't seen it in my 20-something, 25 years as a virologist. The closest thing that I've seen something like this is with HIV/AIDS, in the 80s and the 90s. Everybody started working on the early 2000s as well. Everybody started working with HIV/AIDS, and there was a huge effort. But that took 15, 20 years to do. Here is in 18 months, like I said, everybody. So you can imagine anything that you can imagine, antiviral, vaccines, molecular epidemiology, everybody's doing something around the world, okay? So when people started trying to detect wastewater, I mean, these viruses in sewage, a lot of people jump into that. And if you go and look at the literature, you know, look at publications, you will see publications in, you know, many countries in Europe, some countries maybe in Africa, but they're really small, almost like cross-section on the studies. Okay, we were able to do this with PCR, we detected it, and that's all. What we wanted to set up a network that could be used in the protocol, that can be used and constantly used. It's not a one-time thing and done. Just to set up, like I say, training and building capacity so people can just continue doing this every week or every month or whatever. And not only for this pandemic, but for, you know, potential future pandemics. This is not the last one that we're going to have. So that's why we're really interested in the metagenomics approach and see what we can detect other viruses as well. So answering your question, how many people and how many countries are doing this? I bet that a lot of them, but they are not that organized like we are. I mean, they're controlled, you know, things are here and there. This is a network, an international network that we started, and it's growing. At the beginning, it was only Uganda, Canada, and me here in New Zealand. And now we included, you know, people in Latin America, Fiji. I know there are more countries in Africa that are willing to join. So this is going to grow, and it's going to be fun to set up. And my idea to try to do more and more here in the Pacific, of course.
Before you were saying we can detect other viruses, beyond COVID-19, what can these investigations show us?
Oh, it will tell us what's going on in every single community at any given time, what kind of viruses are circulating. So if you go, and this is not new, if you go and test these samples, like I was mentioning, describing before, I'm sure that you will find a lot of enteric viruses. Enteric viruses are the ones that you have in the intestinal tract. So rotaviruses, all this stuff that usually cause, you know, problems with the stomach, you know, the typical diarrhea, noroviruses when you go to a cruise, all that kind of things. I'm sure that you will detect a few of those. But then if you're monitoring these, you should be able to see a spike or not. It's okay, now we're having a problem with noroviruses in, I don't know, in London, Ontario. Or maybe we're seeing more cases of hepatitis B or hepatitis A or any other thing. Or maybe new viruses. I mean, with this approach, it's basically genetic. You should be able to detect anything. You're not looking for one specific virus. So by doing this routinely, I mean every week or every month, or every, you should be able to have a big picture of what's going on in the community, virus related, of course.
That was Professor Miguel Quinones Mateo from the Department of Microbiology and Immunology at the University of Otago, talking about the investigation on wastewater and how it can be used to get a more accurate picture of COVID-19 cases in low to middle income countries.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.